Thank you, Bethany. The scripture lesson comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. This is the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Whenever we celebrate somebody's baptism, It is with the knowledge and the understanding that God is reaching out with His grace to surround that person, in this case, Camilla, until that person reaches the age of responsibility when the Holy Spirit will urge Camilla on to make that decision for herself to invite Jesus into her heart as her personal Lord and Savior. Our role in the church is to live before Camilla what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are people who love Jesus because we allow Jesus to transform our lives and our attitudes and live each day bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We take vows in the church, promising our responsibility as the church to teach Camilla about Jesus and to show her, along with her family, just how much God loves her. That's our privilege and responsibility with each other in the church all the time, is to teach about Jesus and to show how much God loves us. God's purpose for sending His only Son, Jesus, into the world was to save us from our sins, to save our souls for eternal life, and to help us to begin a new relationship with God and with each other. God's plan from the very beginning of time has been for individuals to be restored into a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus. We cannot restore that relationship with God. Only God can restore that relationship with Himself. And God does that through Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. As you read through your Bible, you'll see that all through the Bible are accounts of how God takes the initiative, how God reaches out to people, and how God invites them as individuals into a new life with Him as part of God's family. So anytime we respond to God, that's an act of courage. I ask the kids, what does it mean to be courageous? What does it mean to be brave? Well, responding to God is an act of courage. Baptism is a response to God's grace. Confession and repentance are responses to God's grace. Accepting for ourselves the salvation that Jesus bought with His life's blood, that's the best response to God's grace. And allowing God to change us and to help us to put away our sinful habits and attitudes, that's the obvious proof of God's grace at work within us. Our obedience to God is an act of courage. It takes courage to change. It takes courage to trust God to help you to change. It takes courage to take a stand and begin to live like Jesus. What I've found is that God's word, God's opinion, God's commands must take first place in my life if I am to be protected against the lies and the deceptions of the devil, who wants only to trick me into rebelling against God. That's true for all of us. The best defense that each of us have against the dangers that threaten our soul is to not allow anyone or anything to replace Jesus as the center of our faith and our lives. It's really important that we spend time with Jesus. The best way to spend time with Jesus is in prayer and Bible reading. I would encourage you, remember to read your Bible. Remember to pray. Did you know there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible? 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you read one chapter a day, you'll read through the entire Bible in 3 years and 3 months. One chapter a day. That's it. If you read 2 chapters a day, you'll cut that time in half. It's important to read your Bible. And I challenge you, read 1 chapter a day. I know you can do it. You know you can do it. Make a date with God for a certain time every day so that you can read your Bible with God. And if you have to miss that particular date, be sure to work it in at another time during the day. Don't leave God standing there saying, "Hey, Pat, what about your date?" Make a decision. Make a commitment right now, right here in the church, that you're going to read your Bible, just 1 chapter, every day, and that you're not going to forget about it or put it out of your mind. I have to tell you, some of the chapters are pretty short. The entire book of Jude in the New Testament is only 26 verses. You can do that. It's easy. 1 chapter a day. As you read the Bible, you'll see that God loves you. God wants only the best for you. God wants to see you in heaven. Submit yourself and your plans to God for His approval. Allow God to redirect your steps and your plans as He chooses. And do it every day. Make the daily adjustments to the little habits in life that will threaten your obedience to God. I've found that if I don't make those little adjustments now, then I set myself up for a huge disaster where I will be in danger of either throwing away my salvation or hurting someone else's faith in God. I don't want to do either one of those. So I need to allow God to correct me. Encourage others in their faith. Ask God to help you to fit into His plans for you. And allow God to give you the courage and the resolve to face each day. I ask the kids what courage is. Courage is the strength of mind and the determination of heart that inspires people to action. Logan said, "It's when you learn to stand up for yourself." Well, as Christ followers, we stand up for God. For the Christ follower, it is God's strength and God's Spirit who gives us the resolve to take courage and to stand firm on God's promises no matter what. It's a powerful thing for a person to be able to make up their mind and then focus their life around what they have decided. Not everybody can do it. But God can make you able. God's promise says in Psalm 31, verse 24, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Courage is not a feeling. Courage is a decision. Courage is an action. God's promise says to take the action, and then God will strengthen your heart. There was a common expression for the people of Israel. The people of Israel were God's first chosen people. And that common expression was to be strong and of good courage. They were made courageous when they were told again and again that their strength and their determination came not from within themselves, but from God. That's true for us too. We are not born into courage. God puts His courage within us when we need it. God's our initiative. It is God who is the courage that we need. It is God who leads us in His time, in His way, according to His word, and in His plan for each one of us. We cannot separate courage from God. The Christ follower who is truly courageous, that's the person who's beefed up on God's word to supply and nourish his heart and make it strong. God's word is the Bible. The Christ follower who is truly courageous has asked God to make his or her spirit strong by God's presence day by day and moment by moment. That person who lives in obedience to God and stands on the resolute decision and knowledge that God will lead them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Paul encourages the people of Ephesus and he encourages us with these words. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Our love for Jesus, that's shown by our actions. When you lie, you're acting like you hate Jesus. When we gossip, we are acting like we hate Jesus. When we blatantly disobey the commands of God, we are acting like we hate God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Our love for Jesus is shown by our actions. There's a misconception in some circles and in some churches that says once we invite Jesus into our hearts, we can turn our brains off because God will direct us to the point that we don't even have to think. We don't have to make any decisions. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus does not take away our free will from us when we turn to him. We have to use our own free will to obey God. We have to use our own free will to choose moment by moment to live in obedience to God and give God our allegiance. It takes courage to obey God. It takes the courage of God to apply the fruit of the Spirit when our faith is challenged and while we stand humble and strong in our conviction to obey God. We talked this summer about the fruit of the Spirit an awful lot, and I found that it's real easy to bear the fruit of the Spirit in my life when everything's going just right. It's when things are going wrong that our steadfast love for Jesus shines brightest in a world filled with lies and despair. It's important for us to remember that God does not coddle cowards. When Jeremiah said, I'm only a youth, God's response to Jeremiah was, don't say I'm only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Now, if you're reading there in Jeremiah chapter 4 and you continue reading up through verse 17, you'll read that God gives Jeremiah fair warning that if Jeremiah is disobedient to God, after God gives him the courage he needs, then God will make a fool of him in front of his enemies. Don't we all hate to be embarrassed and humiliated in front of other people? God said to Jeremiah, get up, get dressed. Go out and tell them whatever I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I will make a fool of you in front of them. God does not coddle cowards. I remember part of a poem that goes like this. But stand, said he, in that evil day. Thy needs I shall supply. As much as we would like him to do so, God does not explain himself when he tells us what to do. God just tells us what to do, and he expects us to obey him. God opens our eyes to his plans in his time, not in our time. There's a line in a song that I know that says, and you will show me all your plans as I go from day to day. you'll show me the way from day to day. God's plan, God's timing. Our response is to take the action. And the promise is God will strengthen our hearts. Receive the courage from God. Receive the joy that is found in God's presence when we trust Him. Remember the joy that's found in a clean conscience when we've repented of our sins. Be confident in the power and the authority of God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Know again the love from Jesus that bought your salvation from sin and gives you all of the treasures of heaven now. I read a devotion recently that describes this treasure of God. Imagine that someone slipped a lot of money into your pocket, thousands of dollars that was yours to keep. But also imagine that they didn't tell you about it. You pass by several stores, glancing in the window, seeing many things you'd like to buy, but you don't go into any of the stores because you believe that you can't afford to buy anything. Our relationship with Jesus is like that. It costs a lot more than we could imagine to pay the price for our sins and to receive entrance into heaven and to live in freedom from sin. But that ticket to heaven and the keys to living a good life here on earth, those are already tucked inside us. Doesn't do us any good if we don't realize that it's ours. Open your hearts. Open your hearts and receive the gift of salvation that Jesus gave you. It's free. It's yours. It's paid in full. If you want to begin a new life with God right now and receive God's grace that leads to eternal life, then you need to have this conversation with God. It's a prayer. Dear Lord, I'm tired of the way my life is. I hear there's a better life available to me, and I'm asking to receive it from you. I understand that Jesus died and rose again so that I can be free from the sin that I've carried. I'm sorry for all the wrongs I have done, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and make me a new person. I want to live my life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I pray also that you will keep your daily date with God and read a chapter out of your Bible every day. Read and receive and discover the treasures that God has already given you. Your obedient witness will then be a witness to others to encourage them. It means we continually strive to be like Christ in all of our daily activities so that God gets the credit, so that God gets the recognition for everything that we do. We prayed earlier today and we pray it every week, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God's answering that prayer. God is in the process of answering that prayer in our individual lives as the Holy Spirit corrects us and convicts us and purifies us from every sin that separates us from God through our words and through our attitudes and through our actions. Sometimes life with other people can be challenging at best. Too often, other people, even in the church, will disappoint us and break our hearts. Remember, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Please don't let those tragedies and heartbreaks in your life separate you from God or the church. Don't let busy schedules and tempting distractions prevent you from coming to church and putting God first. It's time to come back to church. Don't be a couch potato Christian. Don't be a Lone Ranger Christian either. And for those of you who are watching online, get yourself back to church. Take the action. And God will strengthen your heart. Let God prioritize your time so that you can publicly worship Him. Our God is worth it. You can stand on the promise that God is with you no matter what. Take the courage. God is with you. In times of difficulty, God is with you. In times of struggle or persecution, God is with you. In times of confusion or fear of the future, God is with you. In your decisions, ask God to lead you and help you to be faithful to God's commands and promises. God will help you to continue to grow and mature in your faith. God will help you, either through other people or in spite of other people. You can trust God to have a plan for your life. Jeremiah, young boy, only a youth. He was called to go to new places in his life and in his faith. His obedient response took courage, and Jeremiah found that he was not alone. He went with God. Through the Holy Spirit at work around you and within you, God is calling you. You're being called to new places in your life and in your faith. Take the courage. You will be going with God Almighty. You will not be alone. Just trust and obey. For there really is no other way. God's word is true and it's sure. God's promises are certain and are being fulfilled even as we worship. May your daily life and journey of faith be one of actively trusting in the one true, almighty, and living God. Thanks be to God. That's all I have to say about that.